Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to preach in English first, so that you can get some sense of today's biblical text. I've been preaching about Solomon for a while. You can say today's sermon's topic is the day of reckoning for Solomon is here. Now, of course, Kings is not an easy book to read. You have to read in between the lines. You know what that means? It's very subtle. I studied this book with diligence, and I tell you what I have studied. Now, of course, you have the sermon outline. Okay. Now, let me say how we get to Kings, chapter 11, 14 to 44. It's a long long passage. As you read it, it's not very much about what happened to Solomon right now. It is what God will do in the kingdom of Israel, and for that matter, the kingdom of Judah later on. So the author has painstakingly put down a lot of background notes here, so that in order to understand what happened later, you have to understand who these characters are. There are two foreign characters, Hadad and Rezin. These two guys terrorized Israel for a long time. So, where are they from? Here. How come they're here? It's because of Solomon. So, when we read things, you read this, you can see the plan of God. The author invites us to think in God's term. The author also invites us to be on God's table. God is very, very angry with Solomon, because Solomon was disloyal. It's almost like today when your father says, say anything, yes, 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 yes. But when you go out several weeks later, no, 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 no. This is how God feels. God is up to here. So God was very angry. Now, the author recognizes that Solomon is the most powerful king in Israel. So he used very subtle language. Now I say the day of reckoning is, he is using the term that describes how Solomon treats God. The same term are being used how he treats his other wives. In other words, God saw that how you love me, and now you're doing the same thing to your so many wives. Are you angry? Give you an illustration. Suppose you are a woman, a young woman, married a husband. He loves you very much. After 5 years, 7 years, each is. He loves another same woman with the same kind of love. Won't you be mad? Of course you are. God is, the author is inviting us to God's table to feel how God feels. That's the essence of this chapter. Okay? Now, of course, there's a lot of literary device. Just to give you some sense. Chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved Yahweh. Chapter 11, verse 1. Solomon loves many women. Same verb, love. Many women. And make a list of them. You can see so many foreign women. Verse 1. Besides the daughter of Pharaoh, you see so many princes. Okay? Solomon, when he was praying during the temple dedication, he asked his countrymen to cleave or stick to God's rules. But in chapter 11, verses 2, the second half, he cleaved the women. Same verb. In chapter 8, verse 61, he tells his subjects, let us worship God with a true heart. But chapter 11, verse 3 says, this woman turned Solomon's heart away. Don't you see the irony there? Very good literary device. So let me tell you, you study Bible as a literature. These are the things you look for. If I were your Bible teacher, I would ask for these kind of questions. Very interesting to look. Anyway, God is very angry. All right? So what is God's dose of anger? God will give you a dosage of tough medicine. Tough medicine. What's the prescription? In a line. What you do to me, I'll do the same thing to you. Got it? Solomon rebelled against me, God says. I will let those who is under Solomon to rebel against him. You see the pattern? So God raised two foreigners. The name I just mentioned, Hadad of the Edomites. And then Rezin, the Aramean. Now these two countries plagued the northern kingdom for the rest of the kings. And also inside Solomon's court, there's another gentleman called Jeroboam. Historians call him Jeroboam the first, because there will be Jeroboam the second in Amos' time. So Jeroboam, who was he? He was Solomon's cabinet minister. You know cabinet minister? By today's term, prime minister has so many cabinets. So this is one of his own cabinet rebel against Solomon. So you know God's medicine? How you treat me, I do the same thing to you. So there's a lot of theological sense there. Even applies today. Many people think, oh, my kids are naughty. They don't listen to me. They make me angry. Right? You have many parents. Now, when you become parent, your kids may do the same thing to you. But what is God doing to you? God wants you to share his feeling. All right? You disobey me, I'll let your kids disobey you. Tit for tat. Isn't this God's way of doing things? Look at the book of Judges. So, a smart man is be nice to God, and God will be nice to you. And there's a verse in Proverbs. You know, when you obey God, God keeps your enemy at bay. Don't you like this verse? Do you know where it is? Let me see my notes. So, this is in, what it says is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. I'm not resetting you, but you mark it. If God loves you, God will make your enemy at peace with you. So if you have many enemies in school, in places, most likely we say, well, they are very bad guy, I'm the good guy. Not so. Why does God raise people against you? Because you were not loyal to God first. So God raised enemy. Now another thing is, look at this. I'm not going into too detail because it's a long lesson. But I can tell you the gist of it. God controls everything. God controls everybody's heart. God loves Israel. Israel doesn't obey him. God raised his enemies to punch Israel. This is how God works. Later on, you will see two additional enemies, which were not mentioned here. when the country split, the Northern Kingdom was captured or destroyed by Assyrians, which are not is not mentioned here. The Southern Kingdom in the end also were captured by Babylonians. It's not mentioned here. God keep raising enemies against his own people. Why? Because his people were disloyal to God. This is how God works. So when things go wrong, it's time to you say, what happened? Why did I do anything wrong? If I did, go back to the source and repent. That's the way. But anyway, to take out the story short is, God is raising the cabinet minister by the name of Jeroboam the first. Yahweh is very nice to him. I give you the northern tribes, 10 tribes. Last time I mentioned about 11 tribes, because it mentioned in chapter 11, verses 13, verse 13. So actually, it happened is, God did not take the whole thing away, the whole kingdom, as he did with Saul, and gave the whole kingdom to David. Solomon is also very sinful. You know what his sin was? First commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Solomon, besides having Yahweh, he has other gods. He let his wives have other gods to practice their religion right in Jerusalem. God was angry. That was my last week's message. So, now God is promising that raising Jeroboam to take the place of Solomon, but not in Solomon's time, in Solomon's son's time. So Jeroboam had 10 tribes. God promised him the same thing as he promised David. But Jeroboam did not measure up. The Northern Kingdom, you see later events unfold, that the Northern Kingdom was even worse. But for the Southern Kingdom, God is letting two tribes. Now, which two tribes? If you look at verse 13, God said Judah will be with Solomon's descendants. So where's the other one? But God said Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem is in the territory of Benjamin. So when God says, I will have you keep the southern tribe, Judah, and Jerusalem, implying Benjamin. So the southern kingdom has two tribes. Now these two is because of the grace, because God loved David. So you will ask, Solomon's sin is worse than Saul. How come God is so nice to Solomon? Is God unfair? I tell you the fact is, both Solomon and Saul sin, but between Saul and God, there's no intermediary. But Solomon sin, but there's an intermediary between Solomon and God. Who is the intermediary? David. God loves, God says covenantally, I take care of you. You should obey me. They did not obey me, God disciplined them. God already mentioned this in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So God disciplined them. God discipline is very severe. Now, you can see God is leaving something behind. If you understand this book, God does not make utter destruction. Even in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah talked to God, God, what shall I do? The kingdom is going to come to an end. God said, I will judge. I will chop down the tree, leaving the stump. S-T-U-M-P. But this is a green shoot shooting out. That shoot is the stem or the root of Jesse, which means Jesus Christ. So even in the same book of Isaiah, God says, the bruised reed I will not break. The flickering fire I will not snuff it. That's in Isaiah. So you can see God is very loving. Now I come back to what's the implication for us. We sin against God equally very bad. God loves us. God looked at the face of Jesus. He's the intermediary between God and us. Because of Jesus Christ, because we believe in Jesus Christ, God shows love to us because there's an intermediary, Jesus Christ. God showed mercy to Solomon. So Solomon's kids have another reign until another 400 years because of David. You see, Bible is very illustrative. David is the intermediary, so God shows loving kindness, hesed, the word hesed, loving kindness to Solomon's descendants. So God loves Jesus, of course. If we are believers of Jesus Christ, God will show mercy to us. Not because we are very nice, just because of Jesus Christ. That's the implication. That's the gospel. So, this message, I think home, there's a song of him which I will sing. And I learned this when I was a kid. It's from Psalm 35. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endure but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So you can see God is not angry with us all the time. One day, He will show us grace. Only if we have Jesus Christ inside us. So you know, God is very justice, righteous. For their sins, He must judge. But God also showed grace. From whom God showed grace? To those who have Jesus Christ in their heart. Solomon's father is David. God was pleased with David. So God showed mercy to the descendants of David. God did not show mercy to Saul. Why? Because there's nothing between Saul and God. See the point? So that's why Jesus Christ is so important. Okay? So when we go home, we must learn from Solomon. And the author sarcastically mentioned one verse in verse 41. As for the other events of Solomon's reign and all he did and the wisdom he displayed, are they not written in the book of Annals of Solomon? Chinese translation does not show this. I will mention it when I come to the Chinese sermon. He's saying, let me do the translation. Solomon and all what he did, and all his wisdom, bracket, folly, aren't they recorded in his book? See? When we talk about, we don't say bad things. If somebody says rude to you, you say, thank you very much. What that means? May curse become to you, right? It's an opposite tone. The author is doing the same thing. Wisdom? See the question mark? So the author is full of irony. You got to look at this. The English NIV did a better translation. Chinese does not have the question mark. So I will have to explain it in my Chinese sermon. So brothers and sisters, may we not follow Solomon. Solomon followed God half-heartedly. In the first half, he was very nice. See, I build a temple. I do everything. God should thank me. I don't know what he thought about this. But in the end, He allows many fair foreign women and allow them to worship their gods right in Solomon's palace. That's what God was angry. So if you love God, don't do things that God dislikes. Repent. Because of David, God will not show anger to Solomon forever. Because God said, I want to have a light in David's line. God promised that. So you can see God is walking a balance. Yes, I have to be fair, I have to judge. But at the same time, I'm also graceful. So you can see God is well balanced. So I hope that we also follow our God balanced. Our God is a balance. So yes, we love God. God loves us. But I better not do things that disappoint Him. See the point? God loves me. God blesses me. Fine. Does that mean, can I do anything I like? Supporting Him? No. Balance. Balance with your obedience. That's the message. That's wisdom. Solomon, wise? Question mark. That's what the author concludes. What is a wise man? Obey God. Do everything he says. Solomon's repentance is in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is not mentioned here. My study indicated me, God, Solomon was repent. How do I know? Read Ecclesiastes. Basically, he says, success. I got it all. Without God, nothing. That's his repentance. So, for my English-speaking friends, I hope you get the message. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message from the book, from Israel's history, from Solomon's history. In the end, we saw that Solomon apparently was wise in the world's eyes, but he was not wise in your own eyes because he disobeyed you in the end. He has a dubious heart. He loves other women as he loves you. That's not acceptable to you. Father, may you remind us so that we love you only and nothing can be compared with you. Father, if we have committed sins, if that can't wrong us too, cleanse us so that we can walk in your way and be blessed without regret. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.